We're so glad you're here. Thank you for coming out to Christ Church. It's a good day. Last Sunday, we started a message series on relationships entitled I Do. And there have been some people that have been telling me they're excited about this series. I'm glad to hear that. If you're excited about the series, it tells me some stuff about you. First of all, it tells me if you're excited about this series, then you're a relationship person. You're kind of relationship driven. And if you're excited about this series, it tells me that you're a woman. Yeah, because here's the deal. Ladies, let me just tell you, you think about like talking about relationships like you. I'm like, can we sit down and just talk about us? And honestly, your husband doesn't want to sit down and talk about you, doesn't want to sit down and talk about relationship and communicate. He doesn't want to do that. He wants your marriage and your relationship really to be like a car. Like the way a woman thinks about the car, and please, I'm not trying to be sexist about that, but the way most ladies think about their car, honestly, they don't care what makes it work. They just want it to work. They don't care how it works as long as it's still running. As long as the wheels haven't fallen off, then it's good. And that's the way guys think about relationship. As long as it's still running, as long as the wheels haven't fallen off, we're good. We don't have to talk about that. I don't need to know how it works. It's just good, you know? And ladies, let me just give you a little bit of insight. If you've ever been riding down the road with a guy and the radio's playing and everybody's talking and all of a sudden he turns down the radio and goes, shh, 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 shh. Did you hear that? Did you hear what? Did you hear that rattle? That's a new rattle. How did you hear that rattle through all the noise, the radio? Ignore the rattle. Just turn the radio back up. That's the way guys think about their cars, and that's the way you think about relationship. Like, you're tuned to it. Like, you're listening for every rattle, and guys are sitting there going, like, just turn the radio back up and ignore that, you know? But the reality is we can't ignore it. There's conversations that we have to have. There are things that we have to talk about, because if we ignore it now, it only gets worse as time goes along. And so last week we started this message series on I Do, and we've been talking about that when people come to the altar and say, I do, they're saying, I do believe that we're going to get along. Things are going to go very well for us, and I have some desires. Now, they might not have even talked about them up to this point, but they have some desires. They have some things that they believe that are going to come into the marriage with them. I desire that ultimately, you know, we're going to run our calendars the same way. Like, we'll schedule time to talk, and we'll spend time together. We'll do picnics. And when it comes to the holidays, you'll want to be with my family during the holidays. And so you don't say that, but it's kind of there that ultimately when we get to the altar, I think that we're going to work off of my calendar. And then, you know, here's one. This is in this box over here. Ultimately, when I come home from work, I'm kind of expecting that when you said I do, you mean that I will hand you the remote and you can sit in the chair with a glass of iced tea for the rest of the evening, you know? That's what you're saying I do to. And here's another thing that guys think you're saying I do to, that when I come home, you will not be wearing something like this, ladies. I have a desire that my wife not wear this around the house, and no one would see her in this, particularly me. And ladies, here's what your desire is. Your desire is that your husband will just love you for the way you are. Yeah, amen. Here we go. But here's what happens. You get to the altar, and whether they're stated I do's, and not that any of these are really bad, some of them might be good desires, desire to have a nice house, desire to have children, desire to maybe spend time on vacation, good vacations together. But they're your desires. In fact, you get married, honestly, because you have goals, because you have desires. And then after some point, you come to the altar, and I don't know where it is between the altar and the back door, or between the altar and the parking lot, maybe in the first hour, the first week, the first month, What we do is we take our desires, the things that we have hidden in our heart that we kind of, and we begin to put them in the box of our spouse, and they become expectations on our spouse. That the things that I desire, the things that I think that we should do, I'm expecting you to fulfill them. I'm expecting you to make me happy. I dream that one day, like, we're going to have vacations, and I'm expecting that you're going to work your calendar around that. I expect that one day we're going to buy a house, and it's going to be the house that I like. Honestly, if you ever watch that House Hunters show on television, couples, how is it they never agree on what kind of house they're going to live in? And I expect that when we go shopping for a house, that you're going to want to live in the kind of house that I want to live in. I said I do, but when I said I do, I actually meant I do expect you to want what I want. In fact, I used to make a joke about that all the time, that when I was younger, I used to say, there were things I'd want. I'd want clothing, and I'd want it to have a certain look. I'd want a car. I'd want a specific car. When I bought a house, I wanted a specific house because I wanted what I wanted. And yet when we come into a relationship, when we come into a marriage, what we do is we take our desires, what we want, and then we ask them, we lay the burden, the responsibility of our desires on the person that we love, and we say, now I'm expecting you to fulfill what I want. Now, can you imagine, honestly, think about the pressure, the responsibility that places on that other person to fulfill your desires, to fulfill what you are expecting in life. And suddenly, somewhere, we go from a place where it's I love you to you owe me. After all, you're my wife. And wives do this. After all, you're my husband, and husbands do this. Have you not read? Do you not understand? This is what your role is. This is what my role, and you owe me that in this relationship. And what begins to take place is you enter into what would be called a debtor-debt relationship. A debtor-debt relationship where one person is always in debt to the other. You owe me a house. You owe me the certain look that I need out of you. You owe me a way that you conduct yourself in public. You owe me to get a better job. I've even heard it said, like somebody said, like, man, I passed up a guy who's now wealthy to marry you. And the burden is laid on the spouse. You owe me a better living. You owe me. And here's what happens when you enter into a debtor relationship. Ultimately, the person who is the debtor, the person who is in debt to the other individual, generally the only response that comes out of that is resentment. It doesn't make it better. They don't feel good about it. They don't feel, I'm in debt to you. Yeah, oh man, that's awesome. Yeah. You could have married a millionaire and you married me instead. You know what comes out of that? Resentment. One of the things that we said, how most people cope for it, last week we began to talk about most people either leave, they run away, they conquer. They just simply try to overpower the other person. I'm going to have it my way. Or they conform. If you're the other person, you're like, I'll just give in. I'll just always give in to whatever you want. Then the fourth way that we kind of deal with this is that we compromise. Okay, I'll give you this if you give me that. I'll exchange what I want today for what I want later. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. At the very core of that conversation, no matter how hard you try, at the core of the conversation is always the agenda of getting what I want. And so compromise, even though most people are like, you got to learn to compromise, there's another way, because compromise ultimately ends up with two people always working and manipulating to still get what they want. And it's an I-centered relationship. It's still based on me. And what started out as a covenant relationship, that I love you unconditionally regardless, what started out as a covenant ends up being a contract. And the contract is you have to fulfill your part of the bargain. You have to fulfill what I expected for you to fulfill. And when that doesn't take place, intimacy is lost. Trust is lost. Respect is lost. And ultimately, the very core of the relationship is lost. When I'm placing demands on the other person, but imagine being in a marriage. Imagine being in a relationship where we take everything out of the expectation box on the other person, and we place it back into the desire box of our own. We still have the desires. We still have the things in our heart that we have goals for, the things that we want. But we're no longer placing the burden, the responsibility of that on the other individual. Because the burden of that, ultimately, it erodes the very core of your relationship. So last week, I asked this question, and I'm going to ask it again today. And hopefully, maybe you've thought about this some this week. I asked the question, what do you think your spouse owes you? What do you think your spouse owes you? Because when you answer the question, when you get to the end of that question, what my spouse owes me, at the end of that question, you start to discover what it is that's impeding your relationship. You start to discover what it is that's keeping you from having real intimacy, that's building the kind of relationship that you're supposed to have, that you desire. When you start to figure out what your spouse owes you, what you're expecting out of a contract. Now today, let me just tell you, I think that God has a satisfying and a full relationship that he desires for every person. But you have to invite God to be a part of this. Now, here's what I think is pretty interesting. In most people's lives, in most people's circumstances, maybe if you're a believer, you're married to a believer, you understand what I'm going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about something. But let me just talk for a few moments and say, if you're not a Christian today, and we're glad you're here. In fact, our whole church is designed around you. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, we want you to have a relationship with Christ, and everything that we do is really designed about you, getting you here and helping you to find and discover the life that God has for you. And so we're glad you're here. Can somebody say like a big amen and applaud that we're glad they're here today? Yeah, we're glad you're here. But let me just tell you, what I'm going to talk about today, the next step for you, you're not going to fully get it. Like, it's not going to make sense to you if you're not a Christian. If you've not like committed your heart to be a Christian, like you get this, you understand that I have desires and maybe I shouldn't burden my spouse with the expectation to fulfill the desires of my life. And you get that. And you understand that maybe your relationship is plateaued and you're kind of at a spot where you're not moving forward. But yet, when I'm talking about what I'm going to speak about today, you're going to listen to that and you're going to like, it doesn't really compute to me. It doesn't fully make sense what you're talking about. And you know what that leaves you up? It leaves you to either leave, conform. It leaves you to compromise. Those are your alternatives. And you're just going to hammer it out to the best possibility that you can. But let me just tell you, I think that there's another answer. And it is, and I'm going to use this term, it's the Christian response. It's the Christian way. And that's one of the reasons why, if you don't have faith in God, that this might seem foreign to you, because the answer I'm going to give today is Christian. And here's how we're going to go about emptying this box, how we're going to go about and get relationship back into the way that we're supposed to see relationship, answering the question, what do you owe me? Here's what most people do, even in Christian marriages. You know what we do? We learn how to get what we want by using, I'm going to use a term, religious yard darts. Anybody ever play yard darts? I think they're outlawed now, because somebody can get hurt. You know, you're throwing these yard darts at a hoop on the ground on the other side, and the people that you call family are standing right there. Inevitably, like somebody's going to get an eye put out, you know? And so, but here's what we do emotionally and even spiritually. We learn to play churchyard darts, like religious yard darts, even in relationship, you know? Woman, submit yourself to me. Submit, lady, you know? Bible says, love me like Christ loved the church. Here's a yard dart. Yeah, I mean, we start to fling things at each other to get what we want, and then we'll use scripture to get it. When I used to teach, I was a high school teacher. I taught for many years. Some of you guys were some of my students. And I taught for many years, and I did something that I probably shouldn't have done and probably ought to pray through about. But the first day of every year, and I taught, the last years I taught in a Christian school. And what I would do on the first day of class is I would tell everybody, come in, have a seat. Let me talk to you for a few moments. You've signed a contract with a Christian school. Your parents have signed a document that if you misbehave, I have the right to take you down to the office and pick up a big wooden paddle and spank your bottom with a wooden paddle. I mean, they had done that, you know? And there's kids sitting here in the room like, that's barbaric, you know? And like, it was also 15 years or so ago. And so, thank you. Thank you. They got that. I'd say, like, I have the right to do that, but I'll never do that. And this is what I said to him. I'll never do that because 5 minutes after I do that, that pain goes away. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use words that will wound you for a lifetime. And that's what we do in life. We make our mind up that I want what I want, so I'll even use scripture to wound you for a lifetime so that in your crippled state, you will resign yourself and conform to what I want. And that is ultimately far from what God wants us to do. So here's what I want you to do. Turn with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to talk about very simple scripture today. We read it last week, and I want to tell you a little bit about what your spouse owes you. Here we go. This is the answer to where the dilemma of marriages are today, the dilemma of relationships. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, 21st verse. Are you ready? Here it is. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, you know what submit means? In this passage, submit means that I'm going to take my desires, my agenda, what I want, and I'm going to set it aside. And instead, I'm going to pursue what you want. I want to learn your desires. I want to fulfill your desires. I want to know what your heart is all about. And I want you to live a life where someone has helped you to fulfill your desires. And I'll set mine aside and submit mine to yours. He says, submit to one another. Not just one, but both. Set your desires aside. Set your heart aside. Set the things that you want, because now at this point, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about what you want. It's now about the other person. Imagine living a lifetime with someone who places you first. Here's what it says in the next verse. Submit to one another. And he says, are you ready? The next line says, out of reverence for the Lord. Out of reverence for the Lord. Not submit to one another because they're perfect. Submit to one another because they're awesome. They always represent you well because they're always dressed the way you think. They always say what you think they ought to say because they conduct themselves in the most perfect fashion because she's so beautiful, she can still fit in her wedding dress. Submit to her because she is just the best wife. She's perfect. No. Submit to him because he's the most respectful, communicating husband there is on the planet. Submit to him because he makes more money than anybody on the block. Submit to him because he's just so courteous. He opens the doors. He always buys you flowers. Submit to him. No, not submit to him, not submit to her because they're perfect. Submit to them out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for what he's done. Let me just talk a little bit about that for a few moments. When we have a relationship with Christ, we come to him and we're like, I'm so grateful to you, God. I'm so thankful for what you've done, that you sent your son to this earth, who gave his life, hung on a cross when I didn't deserve it. He came and he loved me and he took away my sin, gave me a brand new life. Lord, I'll give you everything. Man, I love your presence. I love to be in your presence. I love what you're doing in my life. Thank you so, God. I'm in awe of you. I just stand back and I'm so in love with you. And what God's saying here is when you get that in mind and when you understand that someone has loved you, when you were imperfect, and they loved you unconditionally so much that they were ready, are you ready, to lay down their life for somebody imperfect. When you get that idea and you're ready to praise God with everything you have and lavish that praise on him, here's what he says. I want you to take that and I want you to take it over to your wife. And I want you to love her like that. I want you to go to your husband and I want you to love him out of reverence for me in the way that I loved you, in mind of all that I've done for you. Lord, you don't know my spouse. you don't get it. They're a jerk. You have to love them. I loved you when you were a jerk. I loved you unconditionally when you were completely unlovable. And I loved you. Now take that. You're not serious, God. Serious. I mean, like, there's got to be another plan. No? Out of reverence for me, I canceled your debt. I took what should have been the burden on you and I put it on me. And now when you're in awe, see, this isn't just about having goosebumps on Sunday in church. It's about it impacting our lives in a very tangible way. I want you, for my sake, out of reverence to me, to love her, to love him the way I've loved you. And now, if you think that's really tough and almost unrealistic, let's read the next verse. Are you ready? Verse number 22. Wives, submit to your husbands because they're great, because they're so smart, because they can still fit in 32 jeans, because they're perfectly groomed. No qualifier. Wives, submit to your husband. God's saying, you know how you're submitted to me and you've said, whatever you want, God, I'll give you whatever you want. I want you to have that same kind of attitude towards your husband. You have no idea how many marriages that I've performed where the wives have said to me, do not include obey or submit in the wedding vows. And here's the deal is I don't do that anyway. I don't include that in there anyway. I was watching America's Most Funny video a couple of years ago, and there was a couple that was getting married standing there in front of the minister, and he's reciting the vows to the husband. And he says, repeat after me, will you love, honor? I'll love, I will honor, I'll cherish you as long as we both will live. He comes to her and he says, I will love, honor, cherish, and submit. And she repeats, I will love, honor, cherish. Dead silence.
So the minister repeats again, I will love, honor, cherish, and submit. I'll love, honor, cherish. She repeats it back, gets to the word submit. Dead silence. And he says, I'll love, honor, cherish, submit. And she looked at him and she said, I'm thinking about that one. No. It's kind of the way we are. Like, I'm going to have to think about that, putting my agenda aside and living my life for yours. But out of reverence for me, will you submit to her? And then, verse number 25, let's read on. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives because they're beautiful. Husband, love your wife because, like, she always has a good attitude when you come home from work. Husband, love your wife because she can still fit in her wedding dress. Husband, love your wife because she talks to you and she attends to you more than she does to her sisters, her brother, and her mother and father, you know? Husbands, love your wife because she has just the best things to say. No, he doesn't say that. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now listen, is the church perfect? If you were about to say yes, let me just get you to look around the room. Okay, and let me just tell you, you are in a room with some of the most messed up people you've ever been around in your entire life. But you know what? Christ, knowing that, loved us and laid down his life for us. And he says, husbands, love your wife in the same way Christ loved the church and gave himself, gave his life. You know what that means? That means he was willing to kill his anger when he was angry. That he was willing to kill his agenda when he had something else going on. He was willing to set aside what he thought we ought to do and love his wife in the way that Christ love the church. Now, imagine this. Imagine living a lifetime in a relationship where both parties did that. Imagine what that would be like. Now, here's the deal. There's some of you today, you're like, okay, but you don't know my spouse. Pastor, if I could come down there, I wouldn't do it publicly, but if I could come down there and tell you about my spouse, first of all, they're not a Christian. And so you were talking about Christian. So I'm the only Christian in my marriage. And so I don't know that this even qualifies for me. And now here's the deal is God never said that this was going to be easy. He didn't even put a qualifier out there that they should be a Christian. Here's what he's saying. Love your husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church, lays down his life for them. Submit yourself to one another. You see, here's what Christ did. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. God loved you so much that he wanted you to get the message how much he loved you. That even when you were messed up, God sent his perfect son from heaven and came to the earth and gave his life for you. He made his love tangible, like Jesus was on earth, loved on people, hugged people, touched them, healed them, changed their lives. And then he went back to his father, and you know what he did? For the people that are hurting and broken and don't get it right, and even sometimes they're our spouse, he set you inside of that marriage to be the representation of God's love, his unconditional love to that person. Just as if Christ was in it himself. He put you there so that that person over a lifetime could experience the love of God through you. Now, you might say, well, like they won't ever get it. What if they don't ever get it? And what if they don't ever become that person? Here's what's going to take place. They're going to stand before God. They're going to stand before God that they had somebody in their life that represented God's unconditional love to them, and it didn't make any difference to them.
they'll have to stand before God and they'll have to answer to God for that. But let me just tell you, on the other side, you'll have to stand before God also and answer to whether you, as the believer in a marriage, responded in such a way that demonstrated the unconditional love to them over a lifetime. And see, God placed you in this marriage. God placed you where you are. He put you there, not just for your benefit, but are you ready? For the benefit of the other person. It's not about you. It's about you pouring out God's love on them over a lifetime. And even when things aren't good, when they aren't what you expected them to be, ultimately, he's saying, I want that person to know me through your love. You might say, well, Liz, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach them. And so what I do is, like, I let them go a little ways, and then I'll correct them. I'll straighten them out. Do you know what that's called? Parenting. That's what it's called. You have a responsibility to parent your children, but you didn't marry that person to parent them. You're not there to, are you ready? You're not there to teach them to grow up. You know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to love them unconditionally and submit yourself to them. That's what you're supposed to do. And imagine living a lifetime in a household with somebody who does exactly that. So I'm going to ask the question again. What does your spouse owe you? What does your spouse owe you? Because at the core of that question, ultimately it begins to tell you, what is impeding your growth as a couple? Will you consider releasing them from what they owe you and loving them unconditionally? In the next few moments, I'm going to pray with you because I think that there are some people today that maybe you've never really realized that God loved you unconditionally. You never realized that he didn't just do it because he was the Son of God and he had to do it. He did it with you in mind. He gave his life, knowing you, knowing how messed up you are, knowing me, how messed up I am. And yet he gave his life for us. And so today, I'm going to give you the opportunity in these next few moments to say yes to God's love and just be the recipient of his love. And then I'm going to pray for marriages in just a few moments, but I'm going to ask you to bow your head and will you close your eyes with me today? Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into this room and I'm asking you that you'll touch each and every person, each and every heart. And dear Lord, that every one of us in these next few moments will somehow identify and see your unconditional love for us. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, that maybe if there's someone here today that's never surrendered or said yes to you and said yes to the plan that you have for them and your love, that they'll say yes to you today. I'm going to pray a prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed in the next few moments. And maybe this is the first time you've ever had anybody tell you that God loves you. And maybe first time you've ever realized to the extent that he loved you. And today, you're ready to say yes to him. I'm going to ask every person in this room to pray a prayer with me. And as we pray this prayer, there's going to be some people I think are going to have complete life change. There were several people in the first service, and I think again in this service. But will you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth to demonstrate your unconditional love. Today, I lay down my resistance. Today, I set aside any barrier between me and you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive your love. I receive a brand new life. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer today and you needed to pray that prayer, maybe this is the first time you've ever said yes to the love of God, or maybe you followed him when you were a child and you've been away from him for a long time, but today you know that you needed to receive his love and say yes to him as Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer today and needed to pray that prayer, Could I see your hand so I could pray for you in the days ahead?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. I see it. The Lord sees it. Yeah. He's so mindful of you. He loves you so much. To the individuals who just raised their hand, let me just talk to you for a moment. In the seat near you, there's a card that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. Will you do me a favor? Do yourself a favor. Fill that card out. And then at the end of today's service, bring it down to me or Pastor Jeff or go to the Starting Point Guest Center and hand it in, because we want to help you on this journey and follow God. We want to help you to discover His love in a greater way. Amen. Will you let them know they've made the best decision of their life? Amen. Here's the next thing I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. Everybody stand. And if you're here today with a spouse, maybe you're here today and your spouse isn't here, we're going to pray for them too in a second. But if you're here and your spouse is here with you, will you reach over and take them by the hand? And I just want to pray for you for a second. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you. And Lord, there are many of us who have learned poor examples, and the world has tried to demonstrate to us how we're supposed to live, but you've provided the greatest example of unconditional love, and we know what it feels like from you to be the recipient of unconditional love. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you'll come into this place today, and where there are hurts and wounds, where there have been expectations and burdens that have been placed on a spouse, where there have been words that have been spoken, will you come in today and do a healing work? Will you cause the barriers to fall? And dear Lord, all the resistance to the life that you have for us, Lord, will you come in and by your Spirit change the circumstances in every person's heart? And I'm asking you, dear Lord, that today will be a new beginning for couples. It'll be a new place for them, and they'll begin to demonstrate unconditional love as you've demonstrated it to us in the name of Jesus. Well, if you're here with your spouse, just go ahead and put your arm around him or her, and you can go ahead and kiss them. But keep it, you're in church. Don't forget that.